And Father, we thank you. You said, be careful for nothing, and in all things, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. For the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, Father, we pray for that peace tonight. We pray that you're with us. And we thank you that we can say, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, of that my soul knoweth right well. And you said, again I say unto you, that if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching the things that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. So, Father, we just pray tonight that you help us to receive this word in our heart and not to reject it, that we may produce fruit to the glory of you, to the glory of the Father, to the glory of your Son. And Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, help me, Father, tonight to speak your word, to speak truth, and not to speak my opinion. And Father, we just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, I wanted to talk to you about victorious living following Christ. For a number of years, people would ask me, are you a Christian? And I would say, yes, I'm a Christian. And so here the last several years in doing, not really street ministry, you could call it that a little bit. We've got a Godmobile that we do at the fairground where we have a thing that says, are you going to heaven? And a lot of young people come in, they respond to that. We talk to them about how they know they're going to heaven. And it's amazing how few people know that you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to have him living in your heart to make it to heaven. And so we talk to them about that. And then we go into the jails and the prison, and we witness to the men there, and some of the ladies witness to the ladies. And I'm coming to the realization that it's not only important to be a Christian. I asked Mr. Google, or Miss Google, whatever you want to call them, what is a Christian? And it says, relating to or professing Christianity or its teachings. So a person who has received Christian baptism or is a believer in Christianity. So to be a believer, James 2:19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So they believe too. So believing isn't enough. We got to put a little bit of action to that. And so certainly professing sounded good. And professing said, one part didn't. It said a quality or feeling. You can ask Eve. She got in trouble when she started operating on her feelings. We can't operate on our feelings because that's flesh, that's emotion, and then we just start thinking what we think is good, but we've got to be about the truth of the word. And then when we're in the word, then we're not using feelings, but we're speaking truth and we're in the spirit. So the other part of professing is affirm one's faith in or allegiance. That's great, allegiance. That's what we're to offer, our continual sacrifice of praise through Jesus Christ unto God, pledging our allegiance unto him. So we have to pledge our allegiance unto God. And so that is great. And so, again, we can't operate on feeling. And so as we know the word, as we know the truth, and we operate in the truth and in the spirit, then that's where the power's at. And if you continue on in James chapter 2 there, it says, but will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by faith when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect. And so, can we get to heaven on works? No. We have to have faith. But our faith is increased when we have works. So the more we have works, the more we have faith, the more we get into the truth, the more we have faith, and it continues to grow and well up in our bodies. You know, Jesus said at the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man come unto me, let him drink. For he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So as we get that word in us, as we get that truth in us, and we quit operating out of emotion and feelings, then out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. So a very important part of our testimony in Christ is to have these rivers of living water come out of us. And so the only way we can do that is to get into the Word and to speak the truth. Okay, so again, we as we become followers of Christ, we're students of the Word. And the beauty of sharing about the Word, what we just talked about, we're having a conversation with God. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing here. We're having a conversation with God, of course, with each other, but with God. And I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but the importance of having that conversation is I don't want you to look at me. As I speak the scriptures tonight, I want you to look at God. I want you to look at the Word of God. Because if you look at me, you're either going to find something wrong with me right away, or you're going to find something wrong with me a little bit down the road. But sooner or later, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm going to hurt your feelings. Something's going to happen because I'm in a flesh body and things happen. But Jesus gave us this Word, and His Word is perfect. And so the quicker we can get people to looking at the Word and not looking at us, the better off we are in conversations. And so very important part of our witness. And again, it's important for us to know the Word so that we can say what He said. I think Kim Clout talked about that Sunday. We had a guest speaker Sunday, and it was a really good message. And he just repeated what I have, what I'm trying to get in my mind is to say what He said. And again, that's speaking the Word. That's what God said. And so the more we do that, the better off we're going to be to share with others. And so, again, this point is I prefer to call myself a follower of Christ. And so, especially in today's world where it seems like everybody's a Christian. No other requirements? Fog of mirror. But, okay, so number two point I'd like to make tonight is, are you ready? Now, I don't know where everybody's walk is here tonight. We have guests. But when I say, are you ready? Yes, you have to be ready to meet the Lord. So if anybody here tonight does not have Jesus Christ in your heart, you need Jesus Christ in your heart so you're ready to meet God. Because as I quoted the scripture before, we're facing a judgment, and when the blood of Jesus Christ covers us, we don't have to face that judgment. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say, are you ready? Are you ready here? I'm talking about, are you ready to witness to others? Are you ready to share the gospel? As followers of Christ, it's an important part of our life, especially as we get older. We've had more time in the Word, and we've learned. Then it's time to stretch. It's time to grow our borders and enlarge our territories and borders, the prayer of Jabez. It's time for us to try to share with more people. And I can tell you when you do that, it's not always so comfortable. I've had a lot of rejection, had a lot of darkness that I've had to deal with people in trying to share the gospel. It can be difficult sometimes. So the scripture I wanted to share here, and I apologize, we don't have our full staff here and everything to be able to do the screen. So if you have a Bible, if you want to turn to Ephesians 4, 21 through 24, and I quote out of the King James a lot of times. Sometimes I can't even tell you what I quote. It's either New Living Translation, King James, or sometimes I think it's the Living Word. I'm not sure. But when you do memory scriptures, it's already a job to remember the scripture. Then you try to start remembering locations. Then you try to start remembering which translation you read. It becomes overwhelming. So Ephesians 4, 21, 24, so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, then put you off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, if I miss a few words here, I'm doing it by memory. I've got it in front of me just in case. I do have trouble sometimes. But it's like, it's really amazing because I know a lot of memory scriptures. Our pastor will quote various translations, and I'm going, I don't even recognize that, and I know the scripture. So if I get a few words out of place, as long as I'm not changing the meaning, again, we're having a conversation with God. That's we're trying to learn about the Word. So here, what I want to bring out about this is Jeff Moore here, if I didn't introduce myself, sorry, I'm Jeff Moore, but my first 20 years on this planet, my conversation and what I was taught was what the world taught me. And that's all I had. I went to school, I learned that, and all my belief system, everything that I had was what the world taught me. So, and also we spend most of our day working, interfacing with other people, and we're using the conversation of the world. We're not reading the Word of God. We're not quoting the Word of God, typically. And so it's what we have to be careful. And I apologize, y'all. I forgot to silence my phone. If it rings, I'm sorry. Anyway, so we have to kind of deprogram ourselves not to think in terms the way the world has taught us to think. Because the world will teach you that when you're sick, just admit you're sick, be sick, stay sick, and unless the doctor does something for you, you're sick, and there's no way out of that situation. The world will tell you when you're poor, you're poor, you're poor, you're poor. When the check and balance is, you know, less than $100 and you don't know where your next check's coming from, you're poor, you're poor. The world will tell you these things. Now, granted, there are some worldly things that say, you know, think rich, grow rich, or, you know, whatever it is, think positive. But when we have the Word of God, we have the ability to overcome the flesh, to overcome the world, and overcome the conversation of the world. And Ken was talking about this Sunday, renewing of your mind. It says here to renew your mind. When we renew our mind, we're renewing our mind in the Word of God. And he was saying, renew your mind every day. And I'm like, yes, brother, preach it. Amen. Renew your mind every day in the Word of God, because this world will bring all kind of darkness into your mind, into your heart, and you have to push it out with the light of God, with the Word of God, so that you don't subscribe to what the world says you have to accept. You don't have to accept it. And that's the way we overcome this world. We're overcomers of this world through faith in Christ Jesus. So, again, if we're going to be a witness to the world, we've got to be ready to overcome, and we've got to have that light. We've got to have that Word in our hearts. And, again, we have to change the conversation that we have, change the conversation that we do. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I am married. And my spouse and I, my wife Myra, sometimes we just don't see eye to eye on everything. And so sometimes we have discussions. And it's really wonderful when God continues to reveal His Word to us And I've noticed the more and more we get of the Word of God and we operate in the peace of God and we push out the world's conversation, the more our conversation with each other is getting better. And one thing I like to recommend for any married couple is we read the Bible every year, not bragging, just saying that's our requirement. It's what we want to do every year. And we actually read. We don't read together because we have different schedules and things, but we discuss the Word together. And so I have marked in my Bible what dates, you know, I'm reading where, and my wife is usually reading at the same time in that area so that we can talk about what we read and new things that have been revealed to us. It's like, really? Did the print change or what? It just seems like God's Word just continues, but it doesn't change. It never changes. It's us that changes. It's us that sees things when God reveals that to us. And when His light shines on us, it's just such a wonderful thing in the Word. So I really encourage you to read in the Word at the same time and have those discussions. I do the memory scriptures. I come back and quote them to my wife. And I say, come back, I run my dog. And while I'm running Daisy, I'm doing the scriptures, I come back and I'll quote it to her just to kind of get it into my mind and heart. And then a lot of times we'll talk about it. And so it's just a really great thing, God's Word is. So let's see. Okay, so again, that builds our faith, and then sometimes we have to be prepared. Again, there's a lot of confrontation when you witness to people a lot of times. And there was a group that, I don't know if y'all remember when I used to watch baseball, don't have time for it now. Sorry if you're a baseball fan, I just don't have time. They used to hold up behind the catcher sign, John 3:16. Do y'all remember that, any of y'all? Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I don't know if they still do that. Anyway, that group, they would stand outside the stadium with John 3:16. You know, they would have it all over the place. And the purpose of that, they said you have to have 7 encounters with Christ, they found out, before you accept Christ. So they're trying to cause people to say, oh, okay, that's scripture. I need to think about Christ. For God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so anyhow, that's a great thing that they do there. And so and I wanted to mention too, part of being ready is I've talked about it before, and Kim brought it up again this past Sunday, and I loved his example. When we use this thing right here called our mouth, when we speak, it's like we're holding a bag of seeds, he said, and we're sowing those seeds everywhere we go. So what are we sowing? If we're speaking the Word of God, in Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, it says, the same with my word, I send it out and it produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So when you speak this word, you're speaking fruit, and you're speaking prosperity. But when you're speaking with this mouth connected to the flesh body and not having the Word of God in your heart, then you might say, well, I don't feel good, and I'm not going to get better, and it's just terrible, and it's bad, and I'm just having a bad day. Or you'll never make anything out of your life. Just go on. You're no good. You're worthless. What is that sowing? Believe it or not, I know people that, you know, when the father figure in their life couldn't have anything positive to say about them, it sowed bad seeds, and it grew. It grew bad fruit in that particular person that heard it all the time. And so, and again, on the word, study, show thyself approved, a workman thee not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. So as we study the word, and again, I really try to encourage people not to get hung up on one scripture. The word is a witness of the word. There's all kinds of scriptures that tie in together and that balances out. You can't base your whole salvation and faith on one scripture. If you do, you're liable to go down the wrong path. So it's good to have a balance of the scriptures. And of course, all scriptures inspired by God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if you want to be furnished for good works, that's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 saying, go that inspired word of God. Okay, so point number three I'd like to make is turn the attention away from yourself. I know I've already talked about that a little bit. And again, we are to be an example to others, and we don't need to cause anyone to fall or to have trouble. But the quicker we can point somebody to the Word, the better. And John 3:30 says, he must increase and I must decrease. So again, we've got to give the glory to God. And John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So this word right here is spirit and life. And if we're not careful, we're speaking death with the tongue. Okay, point number four. Let others know how much God loves them and how much you love. It's amazing how much this brings victory to your life, not only in their life, but to your life. And I'll not in my material here, but I'll never forget, I was reading 1 John chapter 4, I think it's verse 20, somewhere around there. And it says, he that saith he loves God and hates his brother is a liar. For he that hateth his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So very important for us to really love others. We have to be careful we don't subscribe to the thing, well, some people, I just can't love some people. Or some people just don't want to be loved. You got to push through it. And so what happened after I was reading this scripture, my baby Daisy, okay, my dog is my baby dog. So anyway, I had her out in somebody's yard, and anyway, they didn't like what I was doing, okay? My dog is very good off leash, and so, oh, you didn't have your dog on a leash. So anyway, so she was just really griping at me and everything. And I wanted to kick back. I wanted to say something. I wanted to go home and complain to my wife and say, do you know what this neighbor just said to me and did to me? But that scripture came on me, and I went, no, I'm just going to hush. And so now I only use that example of what that did for me. And so what's happened since, I've had different situations where people did some things that were not very kind. And we have to get past it. We have to get over that. Now, it does say in the Word, if a brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and comes to you seven times in a day, says, forgive me, then you have to forgive them. So that's good. And there are certain situations where you're working with people where you have to go ahead and deal with that. But there's also other situations where you're not going to see that person again. The best thing to do is just let it go. Just let it go. So I've got the cure for road rage. Just let it go. It's hard sometimes. Really is, but that's how you have peace in your heart, and you have victorious living in Christ, and you're a better witness for Christ. Okay, again, let others know how much you love them. And when you think about Romans 5 and 8, God commended his love toward us in that, though we're sinners, yet Christ died for us. I know I talked about that earlier, But again, to think that God sent His only begotten Son for us when we were sinners, that's amazing. So if God showed that love, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now think about that. If you're getting anything else out of this, think about that. Christ laid down His life for us. Now, will you lay down your life for your brother, for the brethren? That's not cheap, y'all. That costs. That's hard to do. That means not kicking back. It means not forming an opinion about a person when they don't meet your criteria of how they should have treated you. And it means pushing past that and continuing to love that person. And it can be hard. It can be real hard. But if God did it for us, then we can be followers of Christ and do it as He's told us to do it. Okay, it says, another scripture says, but that was 1 John 3:16. And 17:18 says, but whoso hath the good of this world and seeth his brother hath need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Let us not love each other in word or in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So how many times have you seen somebody, you know, you're going through a situation? Yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah. You could tell they didn't really have a lot of compassion about that. No, that doesn't cut it. We're to pray for our brothers and sisters, for those that we know have need. We're to have compassion on, you know, Jesus had a tremendous amount of compassion on the people that he was around. And so as followers of Christ, we need to do the same thing and have tremendous compassion on people. That means we have to dig deep. That means sometimes you're not going to be comfortable with what you have to do to help those that are around you. But we have to do that. It doesn't mean you have to give them everything you got, okay? Unless you're there. If you're there, hey, praise God. You can do that if you want. But it doesn't mean, you know, I've formed this habit. When I tell somebody I'll pray for them, I just go ahead and pray for them right then and there. Yeah, you can identify with that. I mean, go ahead and pray for them and get serious about it. Quote the Word of God and really pray with compassion. And there's power in prayer. Do we believe what we say and what we teach and preach? Yes, there's power in prayer. There really is in faith. And it builds our faith, especially when we see things happen. I don't know about y'all. Sometimes I'm like, wow, that really worked. It's, I know what it was that happened to me just today. I'm not bragging, but I got so many lessons and scriptures laying around everywhere, it just becomes very disorganized. I told my wife, I just had a lesson I did for the prison ministry. We didn't get to go because I had a stabbing at the prison, and so we couldn't get in. And I know I just did it, and I couldn't find it. I know I had it printed out, and I've got it saved in my computer, but I hate to keep printing and printing. And so I started rebuking the devil. I said, Satan, you're a liar. In the name of Jesus, I come against you, and I want to find that scripture, that lesson. And I kid you not, I pulled the door back, and it was right there where I've got a stack of stuff sitting right there on the top. I was like, whoa. But that's great. That's the way God works. Okay, so point number five, watching the clock there, learn to resist temptation and don't allow yourself to be tricked by Satan. So again, as I was saying earlier on, the worst thing that we can do is rely on our feelings and not rely on the Word of God. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I have really difficult days, and I just feel like the world's kind of against me. You know, I've got problems I've got to overcome, and I can't stand for somebody to be mad at me or feel like I hurt somebody's feelings. You know, I just have to overcome that. And so once I get through whatever I'm doing so that I can get to the scriptures, when I start quoting the word and start speaking it, it just brings such peace to my heart. I feel that heavy pressure just coming off. It really works. It's so powerful. So again, don't rely on our feelings. Rely on the truth of God. And again, when you do something for God, when you're out there doing things and you're helping people and you're working for God, hey, things can happen. I hear people say, yeah, none of my stuff ever tears up, praise God, whatever. I'm going like, wow, good for you. Because it seems like sometimes it just... just the other day, I was trying to do some work in one room, and my fluorescent light went out, and it just wouldn't come on. It had been acting up. And then the other one next to it went out, and it wouldn't come on. And I'm just like, I can't work in this room either. But, you know, praise God, I had the ability to get the lights. They were available, supply chain issues, right? And I can do the work myself. So praise God, I can overcome that. But sometimes this life will come at you, and we have to be careful, you know, when we're witnessing and we're doing certain things, we have to sometimes set boundaries with that. We have to be careful not to get into things we can't handle and not overwhelm our minds with too much at one time. And, you know, just the other day, I was thinking about how precious it is what Jesus did for us. And, you know, Matthew 4:3-4 says, when the tempter came unto, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made into bread. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So for us, that might be a little bit sterile in the sense that, okay, Satan tempted him, and he used the word, spoke the word, and that was it. That's easy. But if you're there in the situation, what was Satan tempting Jesus with? How bad was it? How hard was it? And in Hebrews, it says, we have not an high priest which is not able to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He suffered through the temptation that anything anybody has ever experienced. And when I think about all the things that have just come at Jeff Moore, not the rest of you, not the rest of the people that have ever been here on this planet, when I start thinking about that, it's mind-boggling what Jesus had to face and overcome. And my whole point in all this is that he's given us the power to overcome sin and temptation. But just remember, Satan is not to be taken lightly. He does have power. He's the prince of the power of the air. And we have overcoming power, but we have to learn and grow with that overcoming power and be careful that Satan doesn't overcome us. Never forget, we have an inmate that we minister to, and tremendous man of God now, but I don't know why he's there. We don't know, don't want to know, and don't know, not supposed to know. It's a lot of that's private, what happened, but his wife was a Christian, and he was not. And he went through Vietnam and came back, and he had a serious drug problem. And so his wife started getting further and further and further and further away from God because his wife trusted or loved him so much that she would not separate from him to go to church or to live the life of Christ that that she knew she needed to live. She was brought up in that. Long story short, she got hooked on drugs and she died in that drug addiction. It broke my heart, y'all. I mean, to think that she had it and she lost it. Now, I don't know where she was at with Christ at the point of if she was on her deathbed saying, "Lord, please forgive me, I've blown it. I know you love me and I know you'll forgive me." I don't know. I don't know if she rejected God at that time. I don't know. But still, her life was cut short and her testimony was ruined because she operated on feelings more than the truth of the Word of God. So we have to be careful in our witnessing and the things that we do. Jesus, they condemned Jesus because he kept company with what they perceived to be bad people. And they were when Jesus first confronted them. You know, the tax collector, the prostitutes, I don't know what else. He was witnessing to some really dark people. He was casting out demons. So we just have to be sure we're ready for that and prepared for that and don't bite off more than we can chew so that we don't become a part of the problem instead of part of the solution with the Word, because we weren't where we needed to be in the Word and we submitted to temptation. So, again, have the Word in your heart. Matthew 22:37, Jesus saith unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And of course, Psalm 119:11, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So God's word will put us where we need to be every time. And again, Jesus gave us two commandments, and of course, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he also said, if you look at Matthew 7:9-12, "Or what man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask? Therefore, in all things whatsoever you would that men do unto you, do you even so to them." So again, love your brother, love the Lord, and everything else falls into place. Said, "For this is the law and the prophets." Let's see, what did I... trying to see what I missed there. Oh, yeah. "Therefore, yeah, for this is..." Yeah, I left off that last part. "That men would do unto you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So this is it. This is the foundation of our belief. To love your neighbor, to love your brother, and to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. All right. And again, I'm going to make a quick point. Number 6 is give hope. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in a conversation about politics, and all of a sudden you're going down this dark path, and you're not giving hope. And you walk away from the conversation just, I don't know about y'all, but if I ever do something like that, and we don't wind up talking about God or something, I'm going, "Oh, I feel dark. I feel hopeless. I mean..." There's no hope when we start talking about politics. So Philippians 4:19, of course, says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God will provide everything you need. And, I had some other scripture here. And just remember, "The thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." So Christ is here to give us life. Satan's here to steal, to give you death. Okay. So I'm kind of trying to figure out where to go here. I'm just going to ask that we bow our heads and pray, because I don't know if everybody here knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So I just want us to pray about that real quick, and then we'll have a quick prayer about the offering, and I'm pretty much done here. But I really feel a burden to pray about salvation. So if y'all pray with me, Father, we just thank you for this word that you've given us. We thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us, to take our place, to face temptation, to face the things that we face, that we can have a rich life in Christ Jesus, that we can have that abundant life. And we just praise you for all that you have sacrificed for us. For God commended his love for us in that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So you wanted us to be rich, Father. You wanted us to have life. So we thank you for that. And if there's anybody here tonight that doesn't